Sometimes the folks back home realize how we jump around and all the things that we touch on here. But fellow senators, this House Bill 74 comes to us from the other side, and the sponsor did a great job the other night in our committee of presenting this bill. I want to commend to you a handout that you should have in your box. The majority floor leader wasn't quite as kind to the trees, and so you have a big one that's much easier for us older people to read. I provided you with the small one, so if you want to grab a hold of that, I think it might be very helpful just to start discussion on this bill if I first of all can help you to learn exactly what a small modular reactor is. Okay, so first of all, our little slideshow as a tutorial. We wanted to give you a look at exactly what these coal-fired power plants out across our state generate in capacity. I found that of interest the other night, and I think that's useful as we talk about the bill. If you go on through to slide two, that's a diagram of what we're talking about on these small modular reactors. The description, the definition is on page three. Small modular reactors are a type of nuclear fission reactor which are smaller than conventional reactors and manufactured at a plant and brought to a site to be assembled. Modular reactors allow for less on-site construction, increased containment efficiency, and heightened nuclear materials security. To give you an idea of the size, that's the next slide in your packet. We have these visions of nuclear reactors that we've seen on television and how big those domes are, Mr. Chairman. These are tremendously smaller than that. If you go on over to the next page, it's a very important piece of what we'll talk about today. The real power of these SMRs is that the fact is they don't melt down. They simply, if they do have a power misfunction, they will cool off with air coolant, and then you can store those safely. These are manufactured on an assembly line type process and transported to the sites via a truck and trailer. So that gives you a little bit of background. This world of small modular reactors, Mr. Chairman, is coming fairly quickly down the road. It's been over the past 10 years that these have really gotten the attention of the private market, a lot of investment going on. If you have further interest beyond our conversation today about these modular reactors, I encourage you to get on your computer and go onto the World Wide Web, because there's incredible amounts of information about these modular reactors. They're really over in Asia, Mr. Chairman, and even in Russia. These are beginning to take shape and form. And for those who believe that the environment is in trouble, this is a good option to replace some of those forms of energy that are putting a lot of carbon into the air. The House Bill 74, I wanted to give you a premise of the bill, and now I'm going to try to walk you through it, Mr. Chairman. The premise first is that if a utility here in Wyoming has made the decision to shut down one of our coal-fired power plants, this bill would put SMR on a footing that could compete with wind and solar generation. The electrical grid needs baseload power, and these SMRs would be functional to move in there and take the place of what's being removed. The infrastructure needs are reduced. The power lines are already present. We've got roads there. These brownfield sites that have been created by our coal-fired plants, quite honestly, could be an ideal home for these modular reactors. These modular reactors, by the way, can be put into six packs or 12 packs. Because of their size, they still don't have a very big imprint in terms of size. And later on, I didn't go all the way through your slideshow, but you will see, if you go over to the western side of the state, for example, It's maybe a tenth the size of that coal mine and the coal power plant there in the western part of the state that one of these facilities would take up, Mr. Chairman. We are an agreement state, but these nuclear reactors would be under the purview of the federal government, Mr. Chairman. We are allowed to carry on with our mining and our milling, but we are not, of course, allowed to oversee these. So that's a few bullet points of information. Mr. Chairman, I'll hurry along here and take you quickly through House Bill 74 with that background in place. If you go to the bottom of page one, Mr. Chairman, 3511-2101 is the new SMR section, those small modular reactors. 3923-101 on through the rest of the bill, that is the taxation part that you will see in the language as we get there. Article 21, those small modular nuclear reactors, I'll take you on to page 2. You'll notice lines 5 through 10, that's the Environmental Quality Council. And from that point on over through page 3 are the qualifiers for these types of facilities. Any public utility or person that currently owns a plant may apply to replace the coal or natural gas generation with one of these small modular nuclear reactors. At the bottom of the page, this group of small modular reactors would not be able to exceed the capacity that I pointed out when I first began this conversation about how many megawatts that site produced in the first place. So that's a limitation that's put on that. There's siting limitations over there in Romanet 3, Romanet 4. A permit is not going to be issued under this section until this modular nuclear reactor has received the proper licensing. Obviously, we're going to cooperate with the Wyoming DEQ on this, and that's under Romanet 5. At the bottom of the page, that's where we bring in the DEQ, and over to the top of page 4, the Public Service Commission, Mr. Chairman. Any facility that is exempt from environmental quality permitting under this particular section is still has to go through the due diligence on the part of the Public Service Commission, the normal processes that you would go through. In the middle of the page, on page 4, nothing can preempt the authority of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, rather. Definitions on 4 and 5. If you go over to line 15 on page 5, I wanted to point out that our statutes would only kick in if upon the completion of their life, we would move one of these off-site. That's when the state of Wyoming's purview would kick in. Any on-site storage, Mr. Chairman, would be handled by the NRC. At the bottom of the page, that's where we bring in the Industrial Siting Division of the Department of Environmental Quality and how they would review. Take you over to page 6. This will be a little bit quicker because this takes us under Title 39. Chapter 23 is the tax upon the production of electricity from these nuclear reactors. I take you over to page 7. This is a key portion of the bill where the tax rate shall be $5 on each megawatt hour or portion thereof which is sold. So we go ahead and put that placeholder in place for your consideration. Over on page 8, we get into the licensing, the compliance provisions on this, the payment of tax. There was an amendment put on the other side with respect to the tax, and they moved it from once a year to collecting once a month. The Department of Revenue assures us that they have no problem with that, Mr. Chairman. Enforcement on page 9. The rest of the bill pretty much conforming to our tax law. We get into tax deficiency and taxes when they're due over on page 11. All of the distribution of the taxes in the middle of page 13, They go straight to the general fund. Over on page 14, new section of the statutes in the middle of the page, small modular nuclear reactors seeking and receiving permits in accordance with 3511-2101 at the front of the bill. Mr. Chairman, that's a quick run through. I just want to say that after our conversation in committee, I really like what this bill is suggesting that we do. I like the fact that it sends a message out to the world that Wyoming's open for business. Obviously, this is a ways off. As excited as we might get about the potential of this, we're probably 10 or 15 years away from being able to consider actually bringing such a plant into the state if we chose to do that. But it is another option. Several things have gone through the Senate this year that are options that we could maybe employ or encourage our utilities to take advantage of as we face a retirement of these coal-fired plants. And Mr. Chairman, that's the rundown. I'd be happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Landon, for that powerful explanation. Let's see what kind of reaction we can get here. Okay. Senator James. Let's see, where are you at here? There you are.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just curious if we had any idea on how many permanent jobs this type of idea would create. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator James. Senator Scott?
Mr. Chairman, in answer to that one, they thought the jobs might be quite similar to what we're currently employed in the coal-fired plants. And the potential is that the electricity produced would be about the same. You'd have the same problems with maintaining some of the ancillary facilities, the transmission and whatnot, and maintaining the facility. There would be some highly specialized jobs, but it looks like to be similar to what we're now experiencing. And it's amazing. One of these things that you can haul in a truck, they were saying up to 200 megawatts. These are they may be small compared to some other things, but they're big, and they produce a lot of electricity. Mr. Chairman, while I'm on my feet, it also looks like there may be some experimentation with the use of thorium, which we do have in this state, and it doesn't have a good market now, but it can be used as a fuel in these things. And it's a little complicated how the physics of it works, but it's a very safe reactor, and we may want to encourage that too, because really, when you look at this, we're putting a regulatory framework in place, we're putting a tax framework in place so that they can make some calculations, and this is an advertisement that we are open for business. And I suspect when we get one, we may have to fine-tune some of these things a little bit because we're still learning. But it really looks very promising as part of the economic future of the state.
Thank you, Senator Scott. Senator Anzalmi Dalton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just curious how this compares to other states, how many of them have adopted like the tax rate of the $5. Is that pretty consistent with other states?
Thank you, Senator. Senator Landon.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate my colleague on corporations answering a couple of the questions. Hopefully he got around the question of the senator from Sweetwater, the other senator from the Sweetwater. We're quite frankly a little bit out in front on this. We didn't have a lot of testimony with regard to other states. There's so much you can get into with nuclear energy, and I was reminded that nuclear energy has been around for 50 or 60 years in the United States, and we actually had a nuclear site up in the vice president's neighborhood that was the longest standing and longest running nuclear site in the country at one time. I didn't know that, but I appreciated the good senator from Natrona County indicating the size of these things. That in order to really fall under the classification specification of a small modular reactor, Mr. Chairman, 50 to 300 megawatts. So if you consider, for example, one of the big coal-fired plants in the state that generates 900 megawatts, you can visualize literally a six-pack of these units sitting on that property, taking up far less space, and so that gives you sort of an idea. And one of the final things that I want to emphasize, Senators, on this bill, this really is a framework as we face probably quite a ways off before we can really entertain this notion. I think this framework has plenty of time that we can tighten up the statutes. There's some potential for some conflict when you get into our state industrial siting process versus the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, for example. I think there's plenty of time, Mr. Chairman, for us to move on through and tighten that up, but hope you'll support the bill.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Dockstader.
Thank you. Original sponsor must have really wanted to go this bill to go through. He set up two presenters. And that's why you end up with two handouts in your box, but I'd encourage you to take that home, some of the material you take home to study that. Folks, we had, in the utility that I'm associated with and I serve on a board on, we brought these folks in that are actually doing this in a neighboring state, getting ready to do it. And they gave an excellent presentation, almost 2-hour presentation on these units to our utility. Now, we weren't at that point where we're considering it, but we don't know the future of hydro, coal, all that we get our power from. But when they were done, I said, how many people can you employ with one of these units? Because I was interested. We got about 300 or 400 people down the south end of Lincoln County that are working in a power plant operation there and coal mine next door. And they, that quick, he said, 304. And that caught my attention. So I said, would you like to make a trip down to South Lincoln County with me, do a presentation to my commissioners and some other businessmen down there? They said, absolutely. So we hauled that entire organization down to South Lincoln, sat in the county chambers, the county commission chambers, and presented all of this. Because we know changes are coming over time, as the good senator from Casper just said, that, you know, this isn't going to happen right away. But we are trying to position our county to be ready for it. And that number of people employed, that caught my attention, because that's been the genesis of my whole push, is to keep our Wyoming residents employed. And one of these little units, we could power up the Wasatch Front and the coast real easy with a few of these units that you essentially fit on the back of a semi-truck. So keeping an eye on the future, ask for your support of the bill.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Kinski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question to the sponsors. On page 2, line 12, that paragraph limits the ability to do this to those who currently own a plant for replacement. And I'm curious about that limitation, because the entities that own coal-fired power plants that have an agenda to close them, whether for business or other reasons, may not be inclined to bring in nuclear plants, just may prefer to close the coal plants. Why would we not open it up to others besides those who currently own and operate a coal-fired plant? Similarly, on the next Romanet 2, must have a combined rated capacity not greater than. Why wouldn't we allow somebody to put in a rated capacity greater than the current rated capacity? And then finally, on page 3, Romanet 3, it has to be located on the same site. And I'm curious what the reason for that limitation is. In other words, you can conceive of somebody that, assuming that we had a wheeling, what's called a wheeling tariff in place, and a wheeling tariff is, that's simply a rate that a utility charges for somebody to run the power over their lines. And typically the utilities don't like that because it's competitors running the power over their lines. But, you know, that's something that could be dealt with separately. But assuming we had in place a wheeling tariff, you could set one of these plants up anywhere near the grid and put it up into the grid without having to wait for the plant to completely close or be scheduled for closure. If there was some entrepreneurial company that saw that coal might be winding down, they might not want to wait and locate on the premises of an existing plant. Maybe they just want to set up shop from the get-go. So I'm curious about what I see as three limitations in the bill, why those are there. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Kinski. Senator Dockstader.
Thank you, and I'll let the good chairman take it. Like a couple of those is I'd like to address. We already got infrastructure in place. That's why I hauled them out to see it at South Lincoln. Everything's ready to go. And I actually asked the power company that was involved. I said, so would you put something like this in your portfolio of services? They said, yes, but that's still a long ways off. The infrastructure's in place, good to go. I don't see those this early on. To my good senator from Sheridan, I don't see those as limitations as part of the discussion. We've got infrastructure in place, ready to go. We could fire one of these up.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, we asked the question in committee about the possibility of going elsewhere, and the answer was they perfectly well could. Go through the normal siting process. This bill will help that because it will give them a notion of what we're going to do in the way of taxes and things like that. It looks like it'd be more economic to go on one of these other sites, but if somebody has good reason to go somewhere else, we would welcome that, and the normal siting process would work just fine for them to get the necessary permits. So I think the answer is we didn't need to put them in to get the some of the other advantages you need this bill.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Cost.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A couple questions. One is, obviously with nuclear, there's some waste, and just curiously, how much waste is there and where would we be putting that? Because that seems to be a problem. And the second question is, I know most nuclear plants use a fair amount of water. Is there a water requirement for it? And that be part of the reason why it's so close to these, or our current places could supply that for them? Just a couple questions.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Scott.
Chairman, we asked about the waste in committee. It generates, the physics are the same for one of these plants as they are for a larger one. On a per megawatt basis, it generates the same amount of waste. You need to store that securely on site, not move it around, because the physics are that you get a lot of the initial radiation from very short-lived isotopes that get created, and that means that the radioactivity in the waste is very high at the outset and goes down pretty rapidly. So all the nuclear power plants in the world, I think, store initial waste on site. Our society has a difficulty with the long-term storage of that. They're talking about Yucca Mountain again. My personal opinion, I don't like the system we're using right now. It's all stored on the power plant because the federal government can't get its act together. There may be some further economic opportunities there. And frankly, there's valuable things in that waste. I think eventually society will rethink that and go to some reprocessing somewhere. Probably you need one or two sites in the country, so that may well not be here. But the problem, the nuclear waste problem, is the same for this as for any other on a per megawatt basis, is my understanding on it. With regard to water, does use water as a coolant. Maybe not as much as, I think it may be not as much as a conventional nuclear power plant or a coal-fired power plant, but it does need water, and that's one of the advantages that water infrastructure would already be in place.
Thank you, Senator Scott. Senator Giroux, what say you?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Understand the excitement about new sources of power, and I understand that the challenges of power we have, and I also understand that this is just a framework and a study and a guide, but I think the good senator from Natrona County just pointed out some of the downsides and some of the unanswered questions, and there are more. Yes, these units do need a constant supply of water, and in absence of that, there are troubles. Also, if there's flooding, if they're contained in an area that floods and the water supply gets contaminated, the water supply gets block with debris, something in a flood situation, that there are a lot of unanswered questions about what happens then. The storage of the waste is also a concern. One other thing I'd say on this is that we just spent a couple of years going through this report called the Endow Report, a 35-year study about the future of Wyoming and the future of what we can do economically. 148-page report. I've read every page. And there's a lot of exciting proposals, a lot of things that in myriad of different ways of manufacturing, agriculture, tourism, all different things. Not one mention of nuclear power as a viable alternative in the next 35 years for our state. Does that mean it's not? No. Does that mean that it shouldn't be explored? I think it should. But I just wanted to make sure that we had a cautionary tale today and talk a little bit about some of the downsides that are there with nuclear power. And with that, Mr. Chairman, on and against. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Nethercott, ladies first.
I'll remember that.
Okay.
And make you apply it at that time. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So we did hear testimony, and I think that there's prudent caution when it comes to anything nuclear. However, that said, the future looks very differently for all of us. And nuclear is a viable option that technology continues to explore and evaluate as we understand how to store the nuclear fuel rods after they've been used. It's important to know that despite the fact that we're still understanding how to deal with this type of waste, it accumulates very slowly. And so it takes 50 years before they need replaced, which is very different and not what we're actually, what we're thinking. And so it takes a significant amount of time. As the good senator from Bates Creek identified, those fuel rods, whereas the radioactive, they're not valueless. And what we know is a good red country on the other side of the world that's much larger than ours would happily buy them from us. They're that valuable. The United States has chosen not to participate in that exchange of goods for good reason, no doubt. But I think it's important to recognize they have value. So as the country grapples with and the world grapples with understanding different energy resources, nuclear is going to continue to be a viable and reoccurring option. And one that I think Wyoming needs to explore. We have the raw materials. We have the experience with energy. And so I do think it's a future for us in a space that we should welcome. Those concerns are warranted. Those, as the good senator from Bighorn also identified, the basis for the bill to be located on the site of these plants is because that water is there. Now, contamination of water resources is certainly a concern. But something we as oil drillers in this state are certainly aware of as well, of how to deal with wastewater, contaminated water, and how to protect our vital water resources in such an arid state. So I am confident that of any state in the country, we are the state to navigate, understand, and put the appropriate environmental parameters and also production parameters in place to ensure that the world has a vital resource for energy of which we can help provide.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Dockstader.
Thank you. Hear the concerns from my neighbor to the north in Teton County, and we want to extend our appreciation to that county for hosting a 2 to 3 day conference last summer on this very topic. And many, or if not most of all of his concerns were answered at that at a large lodging facility there, as people traveled in from around the country to hear reports on the possibilities of that. And that's where we got tied in with it as a utility. And that led to exploring the opportunities for Lincoln County. At the same time, a lot of this will be vetted in a project that I understand will be happening in a state to the west of us first. They're already underway, but we do appreciate Teton County for hosting an extensive conference on this very topic.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Cost.
Just one other comment, Mr. Chairman. Our submarines in the Navy have mastered this for quite some time because we have nuclear subs that have been running for an extremely long time. So obviously there's some benefit there. So
thank you. All right. Ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Senator Landon's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it, do so with a favorable recommendation of House Bill 74, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 74 is passed Committee of the Whole. Next bill up for our consideration.